You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves are in Phoenix to take on the Suns in the desert this evening, as well as Friday night, back-to-back games in Phoenix. The Wolves just played the Suns a couple of weeks ago, right before the All-Star break, and were beat in Minnesota against Ricky Rubio's former team. So we'll complete the show today with a quick preview for tonight's game. I wanted to start, though, with the latest Timberwolves trade rumor. Again, nothing groundbreaking, but just kind of this continuous, almost pitter-patter of Wolves-related rumors. So it's about Ricky Rubio, about the Orlando Magic mostly. So I want to talk about some of those items. I wrote about it for Dunking with Wolves and just kind of talk through what a Rubio trade to Orlando could look like and whether or not I think it'll actually happen this year. And then I want to talk about Anthony Edwards and his scoring gravity. Anthony Edwards has been fantastic over the past couple of games. He's shooting 50% from the field. Each of the last two games, he shot 50% from the field. And him as an efficient scorer, somebody who can score at the basket, draw fouls, and also knock down threes at a reasonable rate, what that means for the Wolves offense and what it could mean for the players around him. Have a couple of numbers from B-Ball Index that will help us kind of paint a picture of Edwards' efficiency and scoring gravity to this point. And then some of the things he can do better, free throw rate, most notably. But then we'll also finish the show then by talking about Wolves Suns. So that'll be the show today. A quick reminder that you can subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere you get podcasts. That includes iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. It's at B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, so the latest rumor, over the past couple of days, there's been a little bit of talks surrounding Ricky Rubio. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated listed Ricky Rubio as a possibility for the Orlando Magic, as well as for the LA Clippers, who are looking for an additional point guard. And those are the two teams mentioned by Mannix over at SI.com. And then Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report, had an article post this week that said that the Timberwolves and Magic had, quote, significant conversations, and he said they were, quote, nearing an agreement on a trade package for Gordon that included Ricky Rubio and future draft capital. That was derailed when Gordon had a severely sprained ankle just prior to the trade deadline. So according to Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report, a Gordon-Rubio trade was close before Gordon was injured. And that hadn't previously been reported. We, of course, have been talking about on this show about the Wolves' interest in Aaron Gordon now going back 13-plus months, I think even to January of last year, 14 months or so. And as I've talked about on the show before, I've come around to the idea of Gordon in a Timberwolves uniform. I think his multi-positional versatility on defense, his ability to function as a secondary playmaker, to rebound his position well, all of those things fit well next to Karl-Anthony Towns, the major drawback being his lack of outside shooting. He's a little below average shooting threes and won't be able to spread the floor as effectively as, I mean, frankly, even some of the in-house options, Jaden McDaniels, Juancho Hernangómez, are both better three-point shooters than Aaron Gordon. And three-point shooting has been a significant issue, as has defense. And so Gordon solves one of those issues, but would detract from the Wolves' ability to spread the floor and create room for Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and others to operate. So, I mean, I think Aaron Gordon's a great fit as long as you're not, the opportunity cost to acquire him isn't too insane. And the Magic are apparently interested in Ricky Rubio. So the salaries are almost, they work out almost perfectly. Each player has one more year after this one on the deal. Rubio's deal is $17.8 million next year, and Aaron Gordon's actually goes down a little bit, but it's in the same neighborhood. I think it's maybe $16 million. I'm going to pull it up here in a second. But they could actually make the trade straight up, Rubio for Gordon straight up. Now, as of a few weeks ago, you would have said, okay, the Wolves have to give up something else. Rubio's having a terrible season. Gordon's still younger. There's the possibility he continues to improve and the Wolves could extend him after next season and have his, have the leg up on extending him. Whereas Rubio is on the wrong side of 30 at this point, which is crazy to think about, but he is. He's been in the league for a decade. And, you know, he probably walks after next year. He's basically a stopgap for them, in a sense, with Markelle Fultz out with the ACL injury. And you would understand why the Wolves would have to include, as Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report called it, future draft capital, why that would need to be included in such a trade. Now, fast forward a month, and Gordon's been injured, and Rubio's played extremely well since he's become a starter in the absence of D'Angelo Russell, and also in the absence of Jordan McLaughlin. He's needed to play heavier minutes and play as the primary, the only point guard on the floor, instead of sharing the floor with other point guards as he has at times this season. So now it seems a lot more even. I really don't think it would end up being a straight up trade. I think the Magic could make the case that Gordon is the more valuable player, and therefore the Wolves should add more assets. So what are those assets? Well, the Wolves can't trade a 21 draft pick because they don't have any. Both were traded to Golden State last year in the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade. The Wolves can't trade a 2022 first round pick because of the step-in rule. They already traded their 21 pick. So unless they're taking another pick back, that won't work. It's probably not a second round pick in 22, probably isn't going to get it done. The Magic actually already have 2 second rounders in 22. They probably don't need a third. That's probably not, you know, what's going to get this deal done. So future draft capital to me says probably a protected 2023 first round pick, fairly heavily protected. You know, maybe it's a top six, top seven, which isn't that heavily protected, but compared to the Warriors pick, which is top three protected, maybe the Wolves do like a top seven protected pick. So if it lands in the top seven, they keep the pick. If not, then it goes to Orlando, and maybe it turns into a second rounder by 24, even something like that, where it would have to, if it doesn't convey immediately, then it becomes a second rounder or something like that in 2024. I could see something like that being what the Wolves were looking at offering the Magic as of a few weeks ago. Now, given that the tables have slightly turned, and this is, by the way, an example why teams wait until the last moment to make a trade, because if the Wolves had pulled the trigger on that trade a month ago, they would have overpaid. Ricky Rubio is better than he was playing a month ago. He's also probably not as good as he was the other night, 19-12 with one turnover and shooting 80% from the field. That he's not going to do that every night. But Rubio's better than he played for the first 35 games of the season. So the Wolves would have basically sold low on Rubio. And now they've got another week to sit here and decide, is this trade in our best interest? Does this make sense? One iteration of this trade that I kind of like is the Wolves could trade Rubio and Jarrett Culver to Orlando and take somebody else back. Salary-wise, the Wolves would only need to take back about $350,000, less than $400,000 back in order to make those salaries work. So they could take one of the Magic's, you know, end-of-the-bench guys, a veteran minimum-type contract. Maybe they could look for somebody with a little bit of upside. It's unlikely they'd be able to get, say, Chuma Okeke, who is the 16th overall pick in this year's draft, a rookie power forward from Orlando. He's only played in 23 games this year, started two games, and, I mean, he can shoot threes, he can rebound. I mean, the upside of a guy like Okeke is probably too great for the Magic to include in a trade like this, but maybe it's Rubio, Jarrett Culver, and you know, 23 second round pick or a heavily protected 23 first round pick to get back Okeke and Aaron Gordon. It's hard because then at least the Wolves are getting some additional value back. So, you know, a future second, Culver, Rubio for Okeke and Gordon makes some sense, or name another young player on the Magic roster to make those salaries work. If that's something that the Magic are interested in, that could be beneficial to the Wolves. The thing you have to remember is that Gordon could walk after next year, and the Wolves aren't going to make the playoffs this year. So you're looking at one season of Aaron Gordon. You don't want to give up a future first round pick plus Ricky Rubio and Jarrett Culver, who's got a couple more years of team control on his rookie deal and obviously still has some upside and is already a pretty good defender. So you don't want to burn through assets to get a guy who, frankly, on a really good team, Aaron Gordon's probably your fourth or fifth best player, maybe. And yeah, he's still got some upside too, but he could also leave after next year. So all those things have to factor in. And here's what I think will ultimately happen. I don't think a trade's going to get done between the Wolves and the Magic for Aaron Gordon, and they may trade him somewhere else. But if they don't, I think this gets revisited in the offseason. It was a week ago, Anthony Edwards said something to the effect of Ricky Rubio is the best leader he's been around his entire life. And I mean, right around that time is when Edwards, you know, things clicked and he started playing much better. And I think I'd be surprised if Gerson Rosas pulled the rug out from Anthony Edwards and Jalen Noel and Jade McDaniels and these other rookies who are enjoying Ricky Rubio's mentorship and just traded him and potentially overpaid for a guy like Aaron Gordon midseason when the team's starting to play a little bit better. I think this feels like more of an offseason. Hey, let's revisit this conversation. Could we do this straight up? If the Wolves say the Wolves want to keep Jordan McLaughlin and bring him in as the backup to D'Angelo Russell, and you can do a Rubio for Gordon trade straight up in the offseason, maybe throw in a second round pick if you need to, that makes a ton of sense. Fultz isn't going to be 100% at the start of next year. The Magic think that they're better than their record this year. The Wolves think they're better than their record, and each team could get a little better with that trade. So to me, this doesn't happen before next Thursday's trade deadline. I think that this thing gets revisited in the offseason, assuming Gordon doesn't go to Portland or anywhere else. I don't think Portland's got the assets to get a deal done either. But of the players we've talked about as likely trade targets for the Timberwolves, John Collins is going to cost the most. I think Larry Nance is going to cost more than Aaron Gordon too, because Nance has a better contract situation and is a lower usage type player who can slot in and do all the things you want him to do and not need the ball in his hands as much. Whereas Aaron Gordon's, he's not going to be one of your top three options, but he's going to want the ball in his hands and to create a little bit more. I think that Nance is actually going to cost more in assets. If both were to get traded, I think that the Cavs could get more for Larry Nance than Orlando could get for Aaron Gordon. So I do think that this is a conversation that will be had up until the deadline, and it could be a bit of a staring contest. But the most likely scenario in my mind is that this thing gets revisited over the summer and there's still a possibility that something goes down. I just don't think it's quite yet. Okay, next, what I want to do is talk about Anthony Edwards. And actually, the perfect segue to that is by talking about the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. We are just over a week into post-All-Star break play right now, and Anthony Edwards has far and away been the Timberwolves' most impressive player over the last week, most consistent player, and has averaged 27.8 points per game on 47.7% shooting, and he's shooting 21.5 shots a game. He's shooting 42.4% outside the arc, so his shooting splits are rounding up to 48%, 42% outside the arc, 75% at the free throw line, and he's averaging 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal and a half a game. Again, just under 28 points a game over the past week, and that is not something we've seen out of him this season. He is also the epitome of joy and happiness and enjoyment. Watch any post-game presser with Anthony Edwards. Watch any post-game interview he does with Marnie Gellner on Fox Sports North, and you'll see the joy, the happiness, the enjoyment. Anthony Edwards understands that joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. And I'll tell you what, he enjoys dunking on people like he did to Robert Covington over the weekend. He enjoys the fear that opponents have that he's going to dunk over them. As Michelob Ultra says, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Anthony Edwards is this week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Hey, let's also talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing with baseball right around the corner. BetOnline even offers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using the promo code Locked On. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Which actually, and that's a perfect segue now to talking about Locked On Bets. Betting on the NBA or any other sport does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk about Anthony Edwards, the aforementioned Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. As I mentioned, he's had a crazy week. 28 points a game, 48% shooting, 42% outside the arc, all that good stuff. But what has been most noticeable is how Edwards, being effective at all three levels, really, is what he's done, has opened things up for the rest of his teammates. We saw Ricky Rubio get plenty of opportunities, take advantage the other day. We've seen Jalen Noel do the same when he's been on the court with running the point with Anthony Edwards on the court as well. Jalen Noel's gotten a lot of open three-point attempts because of Anthony Edwards' scoring gravity. What I mean by that is, I guess the easiest way to explain it is, when Edwards has the ball in his hands, the defense pays attention, right? When a star, when a scorer has the ball in his hands, the defense is automatically drawn to where he is. And when you have a player like Edwards who starts to drive into the paint, the defense is literally getting sucked in towards where the ball is. And it creates passing lanes for teammates. It creates opportunities for rebound, long rebounds. You know, if Edwards is going, we saw this just the other night. I think it was Edwards, where Edwards went in for a shot. The defense collapsed on him. He missed the layup. And I think it was Karl-Anthony Towns got the rebound, or maybe it was Naz Reid, got the rebound and laid it back up for 2 points. Edwards missed the layup, but the gravity of him with the ball in his hands, everyone knowing what he was going to try and do, caused the defense to react and opened up an opportunity for a teammate. And one of the things we've seen Edwards struggle with this year, and especially recently, one of the few things that I think he's actually regressed in a little bit, is his playmaking ability. He's not looking to pass as much. Early in the season, he was having these kind of, you know, 2, 3, 4 assist games with only 1 or 2 turnovers. And now more recently, the turnovers have caught up to the assist totals. The last few games, he's had more turnovers than assists, despite the fact, and literally the last, actually over the stretch, he's averaged more turnovers per game than assists per game, 2.5 turnovers to 2 assists per game since the All-Star break. And it's because he's been more aggressive. He's gotten himself into some trouble driving to the basket. But I remember remarking early in the season that one of the things that Edwards already does as a rookie that Andrew Wiggins did not do was he was passing in isolation situations. He was getting into the paint and finding teammates. And clearly the coaching staff has told him, put your head down and go score. And for the most part, that's been beneficial. However, he's still not drawing fouls quite at the rate that he should be. And that's not entirely his fault. And until that catches up, the lack of assists is a little bit of an issue. And so I want to talk about a couple of B-ball index numbers. First, let's talk about scoring gravity. There is actually a scoring gravity metric. This is B-ball index. I've talked about the site before. It's fantastic. They have innovative data tools and 500+ player profiles. $5 a month or $50 a year at bball-index.com. And seriously, some great statistics, great metrics in here. They have a metric called scoring gravity, which the definition is they're using Z-scores of the per game gravity data from Andrew Patton's data for rim, mid-range, and three-point gravity. There's an estimate for which each player's scoring ability can help open the floor for their playmaking. So this is putting a number to exactly what I described. So based on his three-point gravity, his mid-range gravity, and his gravity at the rim, how are opposing teams affected? How are opposing defenses affected by Edwards looking to score? He's in the 72nd percentile, which is graded as a B league-wide. So 72nd percentile for Anthony Edwards in terms of scoring gravity. And then related to that is box creation. Box creation is an estimate of open shots carved out for teammates by drawing defensive attention by a calculation developed by Ben Taylor. And again, this is B-ball index. So a similar type metric, 77th percentile, and that's graded out as a B+. So the numbers bear out the fact that Edwards already, and remember, up until the last few days, and I would be surprised if the last, call it 4 games since the All-Star break, have truly impacted these numbers significantly. The first part of the season, he wasn't terribly efficient. His numbers on the season aren't very efficient. Not getting to the free throw line enough, shooting too many threes at too low of a percentage. All of those things, and yet still he's a B, he's a B+, he's in the mid-70 percentile in box creation and scoring gravity. Just imagine when he starts getting those foul calls, when he starts improving, or when he continues his improvement in shot creation, or excuse me, shot selection, those numbers are going to be off the charts. He's going to be a 90 percentile graded out as an A in these categories before we know it. So I thought that those numbers were notable. Also, field goal attempts for Anthony Edwards inside the 3 foot mark on the court. So 0 to 3 feet. And these are basketball reference numbers. Now I want to look at compared to his teammates. And you would think, you know, watching a Timberwolves game, and especially if you just watched the last few games, you just kind of assume that, hey, you know, Anthony Edwards gets into the paint, he scores at the rim, etc. He's actually 10th on the team in terms of the percentage of his field goals that are coming inside 3 feet. There are 9 Timberwolves players who shoot a higher percentage of their shots from inside 3 feet. Now, it's skewed by the Ed Davises and the Jared Vanderbilts who literally only shoot really within 3-4 feet of the basket. But still, Anthony Edwards is 10th. And only 29.4% of his shot attempts, less than a third of his shot attempts are coming at the rim. which is unacceptable for somebody of his size and athleticism, somebody with that quick of a first step. Also, mid-range shots from outside 16 feet. He's third on the team in shot attempts outside 16 feet, and almost 9% of his shot attempts are coming from there. Now, 41% of his shot attempts are coming from outside the arc, which is great, except for that he's still, even after shooting a little bit better from there lately, he's still only at 31.8% from long range. So if that number can tick upwards to 35, 36%, now you're looking at like a Robert Covington type volume shooting three-pointers at a slightly above league average. If you shoot that many a game and can shoot at 35, 36%, great. You know, just keep launching those threes. That's not an issue. The shot mix and the lack of discipline sometimes with shot selection is a little bit of an issue for Edwards. It's to be expected for a rookie, a 19-year-old rookie. He doesn't turn 20 until this summer. So again, not major issues, but just an area for him to continue to improve. And given what he's already doing with some of these warts to his game, just imagine how good he can be. And then lastly, related to the lack of shots inside 3 feet, is his free throw rate. And this is, again, not entirely his fault. Now, of course, I just said that he only shoots 29% of his shots from inside 3 feet. So that part is his fault. But he does take a lot of contact that he doesn't get foul calls that he should get. We've seen a little bit more of it lately. I mentioned a moment ago his improvement over the past 4 games since the All-Star break. He's actually averaged, in terms of free throw attempts, 5 free throw attempts a game over his last 5, and he shot 75% at the line since the All-Star break. On the season, he's only averaging 2.7 free throw attempts per game and shooting 79% from the line. So that free throw rate is up significantly since the All-Star break because he is being more aggressive, but the free throw rate itself on the season is 0.172. That means that for every field goal attempt he shoots, he only attempts 0.17 free throws. Or another way to say that would be, only 17% of the time that he shoots a field goal is he getting to the free throw line, which is crazy. That's less than 1 out of every 5 shot attempts results in a trip to the free throw line. By contrast, Ricky Rubio's at a 0.35. So 35% of the time, more than a third of the time he's getting to the free throw line when he attempts a field goal. Karl Anthony Towns is a 0.31. Edwards is 12th on the team with a 0.172 mark. That is partly on him for not getting to the rim enough and not shooting at the rim enough and trying to avoid contact when he really should just absorb it. And partly on the officials for not officiating him properly, either because he's a rookie, because he sometimes is a little bit out of control, because he can absorb contact so well. It's not exactly the Shaq effect from the late 90s, early 2000s, but it's kind of the same idea where he's so big and athletic, can absorb contact, that officials aren't noticing that he's actually getting hammered a huge chunk of the time when he's going to the basket. So if those numbers come up and he's still shooting basically 80% from the free throw line, and that 3-point number can tick up slightly, he continues creating shots for others, whether it's via assists or simply, you know, drawing the defense and getting hockey assists, or, you know, missing shots in the paint, but allowing Naz Reid and Karl-Anthony Towns and Jaden McDaniels and Juancho Hernangómez to clean up and get easy offensive rebounds and putbacks. Those are all things he can do to improve his offensive game and then ultimately his team on the offensive end of the floor. So all those things are positive. I'm not worried about any of those numbers because we've seen the uptick in aggression recently from Anthony Edwards going to the basket, in addition to shooting a little bit better from three. I mean, since the All-Star break, 44% from three. That's great to see. So scoring gravity is something to keep an eye on in the coming games. Both Edwards and Towns have it. They are the Timberwolves players that have it the most. I mean, Malik Beasley does so much of his damage from the outside or as a cutter. It's a little bit different. But Edwards in isolation, or even now Edwards in the pick and roll, and those numbers are continuing to improve as well, draws the attention of the defense and can change the game for the Timberwolves offensively. So that'll be something that we keep an eye on here moving forward. Next, what I want to do is talk about Wolves-Suns, give a quick preview, you know, what the Suns have been up to over the past few weeks since we saw them last. First, though, let's talk about our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Again, their prices are always reliably low and they're the exact same for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Hey, let's also talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. We've been talking about it now for over a year. It is a low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high in fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Right now, we're in the middle of Built Bar Madness, trying to find out which Built Bar stands the tallest and is the best among the Built Bars. The voting on Tuesday was peanut butter brownie versus coconut almond. Thank goodness coconut almond won. I'm allergic to peanut butter, so it was 100% in the camp of coconut almond, which is delicious. Any of the flavors with coconut, by the way, and any of the flavors with caramel are amazing. Which, speaking of, today's matchup, Thursday's matchup, is salted caramel versus cookie dough chunk. A really tough one. I love anything cookie dough, so I have to go with cookie dough chunk, but salted caramel is also in my top five. I need to probably redo my Built Bar power rankings because my top five has probably grown to 7 or 8 flavors at this point. But I'm going to go with cookie dough chunk. And then next, that'll take on the winner of coconut and white chocolate birthday cake, which is also a fantastic matchup. Head to builtbar.com. You can actually see the bracket there and vote, or go to @bar_built on Twitter. That's @bar_built on Twitter. You can vote for the matchup, check out the bracket, see what's upcoming as we move through this entire bracket with all these exciting matchups. Also, you can use the new promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, that's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. You can also check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast, scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Okay, Wolves Suns. So the Timberwolves just faced the Phoenix Suns right at the end of February. So right before the All-Star break. And it was actually a fairly good game for most of it. Phoenix was up 5 at halftime. They had stretched the lead to 10 going to the fourth quarter, but Minnesota hung around. It never really felt in doubt for the Suns, quite honestly, but Minnesota kind of hung around until Chris Paul just decided to take over in the fourth quarter. He finished with 15 assists in the game. And Devin Booker had a relatively quiet 43, if that's possible. He only made 1 3 in the game, but made 12 free throws, was 15 of 26 shooting, 57% from the field in the game. And between Devin Booker and Chris Paul, that was more than the Timberwolves could handle. The Wolves themselves, Anthony Edwards had a good game, 24 points on 22 shots, but he also had 5 rebounds, 3 steals in the game. Towns had 21 and 10, but only 1 assist in the game, 7 of 16 shooting, 2 of 7 outside the arc. And only one other Timberwolves player reached double figures. That was Jake Lehman off the bench in that game with 11. Jalen Noel had a bad game, shot 1 of 8 off the bench. This was one of those 0-for games for Jarrett Culver right before he went down with the toe injury. Josh Okogie started and was 0-for from the field as well. So no help for Towns and Edwards in this game. This was right after Malik Beasley's suspension took hold and just a couple games into Chris Finch's tenure. And obviously D'Angelo Russell was missing too. So it looks like this will be the same deal. I mean, D'Angelo Russell's not on the trip with the team. Culver, I guess there's a chance he plays. Still no Malik Beasley. He won't be back till next weekend. So very similar players available to when the Wolves saw the Suns a couple of weeks ago. Since that point, Phoenix has only lost one game. Obviously, we had the All-Star break in there, but they've gone 4-1 since they last saw the Wolves. Their only loss was to the Pacers. They just beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Monday. So they've had a couple of days off while the Wolves just played on Tuesday in LA. So now this is a back-to-back in Phoenix, game Thursday, game Friday. Just as a reminder, I mean, Phoenix as a team, They're good on both sides of the floor. At this point, they're second in the West, which I took the over on them before the season. I thought they'd be better than people thought they would be. But basically, I thought they'd be in the mix for maybe the 5 or 6 seed, maybe the 4 seed. Right now, they're 26-12, and they're second in the West. They're one of the better teams in the league. They're 6th in defensive rating, 8th in offensive rating, 3rd in overall net rating. The Suns are 7th in three-point shooting percentage. They're 3rd in free throw shooting percentage, although they get to the line at the lowest rate in the league. They're 30th in free throw attempts per game. And they play pretty methodically in terms of pace. They're 28th in the league in pace. Chris Paul dictates things as he wants, and they run a lot of sets where Devin Booker has the opportunity to catch and shoot. He can also create for himself. As Phoenix discovered last year with Ricky Rubio running the show there, Booker flourished when he wasn't the primary creator but could focus on being a secondary playmaker and the primary scoring option that they can run sets for. And while his three-point shooting's down a little, he's at 36% this year, obviously still nothing to sneeze at, he's almost at 50% from the field. And he's drawing fouls at a higher rate, 85% from the free throw line. He was an all-star replacement that then also couldn't play in the all-star game. But he is averaging 25 points a game, 4.6 assists. And again, overall is shooting the ball from the floor better than he has recently, even if that mark outside the arc isn't quite where he wants it to be. And actually, I take that back. He's 36% outside the arc. He was only 35% last year and 32% the year before. You'd have to go back to his three seasons ago, his age 21 season, when he shot 38% from three. So the 36% for him is actually his best mark in the past couple of years. But from the field, for a guard shooting as high volume as he does, his usage rate is 32% is his usage rate, which is crazy. He's using a third of his team's possession when he's on the court to shoot 49.8%, basically 50% from the floor, is insane. So it's just been a really efficient season for Booker. And I mean, unfortunately for the Wolves, that's likely to continue against them. We'll see if the Wolves use primarily, I would think they open with Jake Lehman guarding him instead of Anthony Edwards, and then probably have Josh Okogie come off the bench and take a turn guarding Devin Booker for a good chunk of the game. It hurts to not have Jarrett Culver as another option to throw at Booker. I think the way you have to attack the Suns, though, is you're going to understand that, I mean, Booker is going to get his points. He's going to get his shots up. He's going to get his points. And Chris Paul's going to, for the most part, get his assists. You just have to try and limit the damage that the other guys do. And that's been an issue for the Wolves, is stopping those ancillary players for other teams. It's the Mikal Bridges, it's the DeAndre Aytons, those types of players that the Wolves need to at least keep them from having, I don't know, career nights like Dylan Brooks had every time last year against for the Grizzlies against the Timberwolves, and players like that. If the Wolves allow Booker to get his, if they allow Chris Paul to get his, but can kind of suppress what the other guys are doing, they should be in an okay spot to at least split these two games. I know Phoenix is really good, but it's a back-to-back. It's really tough to beat a team two consecutive times within, basically 24 hours of each other. And the Wolves, if they play like they have against Portland last time out, and then the Lakers, or Portland 2 games ago, and then the Lakers last time out, the Wolves will have a real shot at winning at least one of these two games. And then going back home with a much more manageable homestand here upcoming, a couple of games against Houston, a game against the Thunder, and also Dallas. This is obviously tough to play two games against the second best team in the West, but I do think the Wolves can earn a split. Okay, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Of course, we'll be back immediately following the game on Thursday with a post-game podcast that'll post overnight Thursday to Friday. That will be Friday's show recapping Thursday's game. And then also we'll peek ahead at the following week on Friday's show. And then we'll do a weekend podcast as well following Friday's game and get you through the weekend. Look ahead to next week when the Wolves finally have a 4-game homestand. And there will be plenty to talk about with the trade deadline next Thursday. We're only 1 week away now from this year's NBA trade deadline, so a lot to talk about. All right, thanks again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can subscribe to Locked On Wolves anywhere you get podcasts. That includes iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and my account is at bbeacon. It's bbeacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Once again, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.